बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
इलेवेंथ वर्स 6.12 वर्स न निष्कृतैरुदितैर्ब्रह्मवादिभिः तथा विदु विशुद्ध्यत्यघवान् व्रतादिभिः यथा हरेर्नामपदैरुदाहृतैः तदुत्तमश्लोकगुणोपलम्भकम्।
By following the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or undergoing atonement, sinful men do not become as purified as by chanting the holy name of the Lord Hari. Although ritualistic atonement may free one from sinful reactions, it does not awaken devotional service. Unlike the chanting of the holy names, Lord's names, which reminds one the Lord's fame, qualities, attributes, past tense and paraphernalia.
Chanting of the holy name awakens bhakti. Bhakti udaya will happen. Na nishkritai ruditai brahmavadibhi. The nishkritis or atonement processes prescribed here, they do not invoke any bhakti in the Lord. Yatha harer nama harai rudahartaihi taduttama shloka gunopalambhakam. In this purport, Prabhupada says that the purification by the chanting of the holy name awakens devotional service and reminds one of Lord's name, fame, qualities, etc. and automatically frees one from sinful reactions and also raises one from platform of loving service. Love of Godhead also will happen. So one should chant and dance and he will achieve all the benefits of spiritual life. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. But on the other side, there are Vedic rituals for atonement. They may also free one from sinful reactions, but they do not awaken devotional service. That is the real hankering of the heart of a soul, pure soul. They cannot promote one to the loving service of the Lord. There are 21 types of dharma shastras, Manu Samhita, Parasara Samhita, etc., etc. All of them cannot give that much of, awaken devotional service. Okay. 12th verse. They cannot give prema. So, name indicates the power of famous Lord. Name removes great sin, since it is the name of the most powerful Supreme Lord. Vishnu Chakur Thakur says, Naikantikam taddhi krite api nishkrite Manah punardhavati cheda satpathe Tatkarma nirharam abhipsatam harer गुणानुवाद खलु सत्व भावना।
The ritualistic ceremonies of atonement recommended in the religious scriptures are insufficient to cleanse the heart absolutely, because after atonement one's mind again runs towards the material activities. Consequently, for one who wants liberation from the footy reactions of material activities, the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra or glorification of name, fame and pastimes of the Lord is recommended as the most perfect process of atonement, because such chanting eradicates the dirt from one's heart completely.
Even after atonement also one's mind may go towards performing sinful activities. Therefore, for one who wants liberation, the glorification of the Lord is recommended. It actually purifies one's existence. That complete purification is ensured. It's the most perfect atonement. Srunatah svakatha krishna punya shravana kirtanah hridyantasthohi abhadrani vidhunoti sahrut satam. The abhadras, unwanted things in the heart, are purified by this. Next, one's main purpose of human life is to be purify one's existence and achieve liberation. So that can happen by chanting the holy name. So effects of this glorification of the Lord is that the Lord personally helps to clean the dirt of a person who chants the holy names. Pravishtah karna randhrena svanam bhavasaruruham dhunoti shamalam krishna salilasya yathasarat. And one achieves the results of pious activities also. So the living entity in material body, he may be impure and he cannot understand his truly blissful life, though he seeks for it. So he has to do tapasya to purify one's existence. Tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam shuddhet yasmat. So name destroys all sins along with desires. Even in the exaggerated claims of karmakanda and jnanakanda, one does not hear that atonement causes a decrease of sinful desires. Atonement destroys sinful reactions, but atonement does not destroy sinful desires. Next, 13th verse. Athainam mapanayata kritasesha ghanishkritam yatasau bhagavan nama mriyamanaha samagrahait.
At the time of death, this Ajamila helplessly and very loudly chanted the holy name of the Lord, Narayana. That chanting alone has already freed him from the reactions of all sinful life. Therefore, O servants of Yamaraj, do not try to take him to your master or punishment in hellish conditions.
At the time of death, Ajamil chanted very helplessly. Thus, there is a lot of purification that happened. So he was relieved from all sinful reactions. Antakale cha mamaiva smaran muktva kalivaram yesham tantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam. What is his background? Is he a papi? Is he coming from a low-born background? Whatever it may be, by chanting the holy name, one can be purified. Yan nama dheya shravanana kirtanad yat prahvanad yat smaranad apikvachit svadopi sadhyah savanaya kalpate. So even a dog eater's person who is born in dog eater's family also, he can be purified by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Ajamila did all atonements, unlimited atonements he has done. At the time of naming his son Narayana, from that first chanting of name Narayana, he has been chanting and he has accomplished all atonements by such chanting. So, and it is done without any offenses to the holy name. And previously also, and now also, at the time of death also. So Ajamil was sinless. If he had sin, how could he chant while dying? Because to be able to remember Narayana or chant Narayana at the time of death is not a small thing. Because his sinful baggage has been cleared off by his chanting, since he named his child Narayana, he is able to chant. This is another point that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. 14th verse. Sanketyam parihasyam vam stobham helanam evavam vaikunthanam agrahanam aseshaghaharam viduhum. Sanketyam means to indicate something, someone else. Parihasyam va, to joke with someone. Stobham helanam evava, even for musical instrument, musical entertainment, if one hears the holy name or chants the holy name, he is purified. And helanam eva, even out of neglect, neglectfully chanting also is beneficial to him. Vaikuntha nama grahanam, in whatever way, if you just accept the holy name of the Lord, asesha agha haram viduhu, one will be relieved from all sinful reactions and sinful desires. Advanced transcendentalists know this. Now, these are not recommendations. You chant holy name by indicating someone. You chant holy name by ridiculing someone or neglecting someone or joking with someone. These are not recommendations. What is mentioned in the 14th verse is not a part of our prescribed yama and niyama rules and regulations. It's not a part of our 9 processes. They are not prescriptions. Even if you are indicating someone and then chanting the holy name, if it is benefiting you, what happens if you indicate the Supreme Lord directly? So that's the message that we need to take from entire Ajamil episode. Yesterday also I mentioned this only. So these concessions and these extreme merciful descriptions should not distract us from our consistent efforts in devotional service. Right, Putana is delivered, I am not as bad as Putana. If Jagai and Madhai are delivered, I am not as bad as them. So let me just continue. Let me do whatever I want, and then once in a while I will just do this also. Now, we are unnecessarily depriving ourselves of the opportunity to purify and develop loving attitude towards Krishna by just not sticking to the process when we know that sticking to the process is better, right, than this occasional chanting or Sankirtyam chanting. But the glories of the holy name is so glorious that even this kind of chanting is also effective. Right? So, other 7th canto, 1st chapter also mentions something similar. If one approaches Krishna, kamat, dveshat, bhayat, snehat, you can open that verse too. Kamat, dveshat, bhayat, snehat, yata bhaktishwari manaha. This is 7, 1, 32, 33, somewhere it comes.
Gopyat
kamat. Bhayat kamso.
Dveshat chait yahdo.
Gopi saitened Krishna by kama, lust. And bhayat kamsa. Kamsa saitened Krishna by fear. Next, chaitya dvesha. And Sishupal saitened Krishna by envying him. What else?
Sambandhat
Vrishna. Sambandhat Vrishna yaha. All Vrishni saitened Krishna by sambandha, family relationship. Next.
Snehad yuyam.
Snehad, Pandava saitened Krishna by sneha, affection.
Bhaktya vayam vibho.
Bhaktya vayam means Narada Muni and other devotees saitened by Krishna by bhakti. Some are negative emotions, some are positive emotions. But these negative, although through negative emotions also you can attain Krishna, but these negative emotions are not prescriptions. This is not a part of one's sadhana. Kamsa will not become our Mahajan. Shishupal will not become our Mahajan. Our Mahajans are Prahalada, Janaka, Bhishma, Bali, who have actually favorably served Krishna, not unfavorably thought about Krishna. Similarly, Sankatyam, Parihasam, Helanam, they are not prescriptions. You should chant holy name like this. This is the mood in which you should chant the holy name. No. Even in that mood also, if you chant the holy name, you are glorified, you are purified. What to speak of lovingly chanting holy names of Krishna. So, we did 14th verse. Yeah, 1 minute. Yeah, no purport. Yeah, tell me. Tell me.
Hare Krishna. Proji, as you mentioned about that, these are not the prescriptions for devotees. We don't have to do the bare minimum, like 35% passing marks. So, for devotees, it is not right. But when it comes, like when we want to develop the faith in the statements of scriptures, so whether we consider this is as literal, that this is meant for everyone, it happens, or okay, it happens only in certain very special cases. Like now suppose the Sankirtyam Parihasam, where we find so many people chanting indirectly, directly or whatever. And they are promising, state scriptures are promising that unlimited sins are being purified. So then how do we see it? Because we don't, at least from external perspective, we don't see it happening like that. Then how do we
see? We see or we witness only a very small phase of time. The time frame that we can observe is very small compared to the eternity. Yeah, by the chanting he may be purified in a lifetime, but you expect that purification in 1 year or half a year or 2 days. So that we don't know. So by chanting, one will be purified in whatever mood it may be, if that chanting is offenseless. That principle we take. How it comes into action in different people whom we are coming in touch with, we can't see everything. We are not super souls to understand his whole case. Externally he may be offenseless. Internally he may be offending. Who knows? Internally he is expecting. So many people may do so many vratas and pujas and other things. In that there is a lot of chanting of holy names. But internally they may be having that intention that by doing this puja, I will be relieved from so and so sin. That means they have an expectation from the holy name. There's an offense to use holy name to remove the one's sinful reactions. So it will work slowly upon them. But good that they are chanting holy name somehow or the other. So we become happy for that. And we try to, as much as possible, we also try to tell them that this is the better way of chanting, not without expecting anything. Bhagavatam says ahaituki apratihata. Gradually we may introduce this understanding. Makes sense? 15th verse. Patitaha skhalito bhagnaham sandashtah tapta ahatah. Harirhi harir ityavaseshena senaham puman narhati yatanah.
If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune.
Patitaha means falling from the top of a house. Chakvartipad adds exactly some details. What kind of falling? Falling from the top of a house. Patitaha. Skhalitaha. Slipping. And bhagna. Breaking one's bones. And patitaha skhalitaha bhagna. Sandashtaha tapa ahataha. So sandashtaha means being bitten. And taptaha, being attacked by some fever. Tap, temperature is increasing. So in all these conditions also, while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain or fever, or being injured by someone, ahataha, by a weapon, he will not suffer hellish punishment if he chants the holy name in these conditions. Means holy name is effective in whatever way one chants. If he doesn't have an offensive background. Chanting in conditions beyond one's control. These are all chanting beyond one's control. So that is, holy name can work like that. Yam yam vapi swaran bhavam tyajachyante kalevaram. Next. Guru naam cha laghu naam cha. Guru nicha laghu nicha. Prayaschittani papanam. Gnatvoktani maharshibhihi. Guru naam cha laghu naam cha. Yesterday we saw in the 6th kind of 1st chapter. If the offense is guru, very big, then if the sin is very big, you have to perform a big atonement. If the sin is very small, you have to perform a small atonement. Guru naam cha laghu naam cha. So that happens with karma kanda. You perform atonement in proportion to the sinful activity performed. But whether the activity, sinful activity is guru or laghu, big or small, guru nicha laghu nicha, prayaschittani papanam, the best way to nullify one's sinful reactions is to chant the holy name. Atonement, holy name chanting is the best atonement, whatever may be the severity of the sin. Some doctors you go, whichever disease you go, he just picks up the same medicine and gives you. Right? Sometimes you get a doubt, is he randomly doing something or what? The previous patient also told some other problem, he gave the same medicine. And he gives the same diet. You get little surprised, they have some other techniques, we don't know. So it seems that whatever may be the flavor of your sin, medicine is same, holy name. That's what this verse says. Because atonements have limited power, such arrangements are prescribed. But holy name has high power. It can nullify all range of sins. So one holy name can nullify the sinful reactions that you have accumulated by performing unlimited sins. More sins than you can commit. Holy name can nullify them. So, however, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra vanquishes all the effects of sinful activities regardless of whether heavy or light. Since it has inconceivably great power, it is as easy as Balaram's ability to destroy all Kauravas, including Duryodhan. When Sambha was kidnapped by, Sambha was arrested by Hastinapur Vasis, Balaramji went. Sambha wanted to marry the daughter of Duryodhan. So he went to Hastinapur. Then these people arrested him. Then Balaramji went to release him. Then they are not coming forward only. They were saying, these people, Yadus are like this, like that. Then Balaramji says, I will just drag your Hastinapur city and throw it in Ganga. Then he took his plow also. He can destroy all these Duryodhan, Dushasan, Karna, Bhishma, everyone single-handedly. But all of them came at the feet of Balaramji and they gave Duryodhan's daughter also and Sambha also. They just very respectfully sent him back to Dwarka. Holy name is like that. 16th we did, right? 17th verse. Taistanya ghani puyante tapo danavrata dibhi. Nādharmajam tadrhayan tadapīśāṅghri sevayam taistani aghani puyanti. Austerity, charity, vows and other such methods destroy sins. Tapo dana vratadibhi. All these things will destroy sins, no doubt. Na dharmajam tadhradayam. But they cannot uproot the adharma desire, the material desires in one's heart. Tadapi shanghri sevaya. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the Lord, even the root of the sin, namely desire, is also destroyed. So bhakti destroys the root of the sin, not just the sin. Prabhupada writes, bhakti hi pareshana bhavo viraktirandatrascha anya bhilashita sunya. These are all quite known points. Material desires should be completely stopped. Otherwise, although one's austerities, penances and charity may free one from sin for time being, because the heart is impure, one cannot purify himself.
It uproots the desires, this is there. It's like again condition is there, uprooting the desire. When they want to give it up, that desire, they want to hold, still the holy name takes out that desire.
Good. So, free will definitely is always there with the soul. With the conditioned soul also, he has that free will. But there is an influence of that. Right, you have certain desires, but you come in the association of devotees because of the ambience created, the whole bhakti atmosphere, when the surroundings are surcharged with bhakti vibrations, your desires can be purified. If you are determined to fulfill that desire, that's a different thing. Bhakti gives that very favorable ambience for you to get purified, but if you are determined to rot in the material existence, that's a different thing. Right, purification is there. Right, even against one's desire, mind is going towards so and so activity, but because of the knowledge that I acquired from devotional service, all the scriptures, and because of the association of devotees, I don't feel like working on it. Even I am working on those desires also, the heart is filled with guilt, so that I don't work on it. Why this is happening to a sadhaka? Because bhakti is working in his case. But some people, they just become so determined, no, I can't stay here, I should go out. They'll go out. But although one has material desires, if he sticks to the process of devotional service in the association of devotees, the facility for purification is there. Prabhupada writes very clearly in several purports. Yesterday also I think we read, day before yesterday. If the conditioned soul insists that I will commit sinful activities, Krishna will not interfere with that determination. I give you facility. I give you inspiration. I have sent my devotees to you to bring you into the path of bhakti. You have come here. This privilege is given. But if you don't want to use this privilege, it's up to you. That free will is always there, but the opportunity to purify one's material desires is also there.
Like another situation is that if the surrounding environments of bhakti surcharged with bhakti, then the purification is possible. Means in the sense of desires, we can see the contrast, how my heart is filled with it. So sometimes, unfortunately, in places where the atmosphere is surcharged with material motivation, they perform bhakti. But the, like among the relationships.
Okay, got it. If I understood you right, one case is, there is favorable atmosphere to practice devotional service and one can practice. A special case in that is, one can still deviate. Second case is, there is unfavorable atmosphere to practice bhakti, but still it's very difficult to practice bhakti in such circumstances, but still some people will excel. Some exceptions are there also. That depends on one's own determination and utility of his free will and taking shelter of Krishna.
Actually, one may still do right bhakti there also in unfavorable situation also. But as a whole, the whole association growing may not happen in spite of their performing bhakti. That's what my question is. Is it so?
Association because growing means?
That devotees...
He may not be able to create so many devotees.
No. Devotees are there, but the atmosphere is surcharged with material motivations. So as a whole, that everybody's bhakti may not grow together. Is it the situation because the environment is not favorable? They are performing bhakti, but among relationships, and they are not very clear, and they are envying each other, or so is it the circumstantial?
I think Ravindra Swarup Prabhu writes an article about a Kanishta community, Madhyama community, like that. You know that? So, yeah, now you are speaking not about one person's bhakti, you are speaking about the bhakti of a full community. The dynamics are little different and a greater magnitude, right? So, whatever the leadership emphasis will come into picture. But ultimately, to keep it short and keep it simple, individual responsibility and commitment to the process will definitely help one come up in devotional service, whether the ambience is favorable or not. If ambience is favorable, the surroundings are surcharged with bhakti vibrations and very favorable vibrations, definitely has an extra added advantage. But there are some people who can perfect their lives even in simple setups also, right? Individual commitment is necessary. Definitely, the influence of association is there, but individual commitment, there is no replacement for individual's commitment. Right? One can be thoroughly spaced out in the midst of 1,000 devotees. One can be so focused when there is no devotee around him. Right? So, individual commitment is very much needed. Sita Devi, she is in the midst of all the Rakshasis who were doing Ravana Katha, not Ram Katha. Right? Constantly they were glorifying Ravan. Marry her, marry him like that. And they were saying, we will kill you, we will eat your face, we will eat your hands, we will eat your legs. We have not eaten human flesh since long time. We are hankering for it like that. They are just threatening her. But still, she was surviving because she was meditating on Ram. Rukmani, she was in Kundinapur. Shishupal, her own brother, wants to get her married to Rukmi. Rukmi wanted to get Rukmini married to Shishupal. But she is focused on Krishna only. On the other hand, we have Satrajit. He is a Dwarkavasi, Dhamvasi, associate of Krishna. And he is staying right in the place where Krishna is staying. But he is a worshipper of sun god, demigod. He is so attached to Samantakavani, a material object. Later, he offended Krishna by not following his advice. Then, he offended Krishna more by saying that you are the thief. In childhood, you have stolen so much butter. Now, you are stealing Samantakamani's. You have killed my brother. So many allegations. He is a Dhamvasi, but still, his consciousness is little different from other Dhamvasis. So, individual commitment is very much important. Makes sense. Certainly, association has a role to play. And the systems that are there in such association and the group commitment to the whole process of devotional service, that definitely has a lot of effect. Ultimately, individual commitment is also very much needed. Equally important, if not more important. Next. We are in the 18th verse. Taistanyaghani puyanti. 17th verse we read. 8th. Agnanat athava agnanat uttamashloka namayat sankirtitam agham pumso dahet edho yathanalaham. Agnanat athava agnanat. Whether you chant the holy name with knowledge or without knowledge, still it will work. How it will work? Just like fire burns dry grass. Analogy is very clear. If you take a matchstick and put on dry grass in Goshala, they have piled up so much grass. One child will go and then put some matchstick there, lighter there. Bas. The fodder for cows for next 1 week is gone in 1 minute. So dry grass will be burnt very easily. It's not wet grass. It's not burning of bamboo trees. Yesterday we read that example, right? Venugulmam Ivanala. The analogy is very specifically chosen. Burning of dry grass to ashes without fail. That's how sinful reactions are burnt when someone chants the holy name. Regardless of whether it is handled by innocent child or someone who is well aware, fire will work. Fire will act. Child will just put his hand in fire. Or a child, I will not burn him. Pride doesn't think like that. It has to work. Similarly, holy name also is like that. One more example is given in the 19th verse. Yathagatam viryatamam upayuktam yadrichhayam agnanatopyatma gunam kuryan mantra opyudahritaham. So here he says that yathagatam viryatamam upayuktam yadrichhaya. The holy name is very effective. Agadam means medicine. So whether the patient knows the ingredients of the medicine, the effectiveness of the medicine or not, if he takes medicine, he will be cured. If he takes injection, he will be cured. Similarly, holy name is effective whether the chanter is knowledgeable about the stages of nama, bhas, nama, aparad, suddhanam, etc. or not, or whether he is aware, well aware. It will work. Right? So, the holy name works whether the chanter is aware or unaware of the effects of holy name. Right? If you are aware, if you know the glories of holy name, that's an additional advantage, that's fine. But still it works. So Prabhupada writes that hippies are turned, hippies who are addicted to drugs, they become pure Vaishnavas. They voluntarily became free from all sinful reactions, sinful activities. They become servants of Krishna and humanity. This is the practical proof of effectiveness of Hare Krishna movement. And it is supported in the 19th verse. One does not have to know the process of name for it to have effect. Yes,
please. I don't want to, extend the analogy. In the previous one, the medicine, efficacy of the medicine is not reduced by the knowledge of the person. But at the same time, another thing is also told that if you don't have faith in the person, doctor in your meeting, even the medicine, your disease is not going.
You need to see the context in which such statements are made.
In this context, means I'm not extending that way, but here also, sometimes people take to the process of holy name, but they don't have faith in the process.
Correct.
That time, it seems that there is no effect in their systems.
You see, Prabhu, we'll go to the last verse of this. I already mentioned the last verse, but still, because probably we'll first discuss the last verse and then start this chapter. Maybe next time I'll do that. In the last verse, Mriyamano Harer Nama Granan Putropacharitam Ajamilopi Agadama Kimuta Shraddhaya Granan. What does it mean? Mriyamano Harer Nama. You open that verse. It's there. Everyone has the books, na? You can see the 49th verse of this chapter. Mriyamano Harer Nama means Ajamil chanted the holy name of Narayana at the time of death. Next. Granan Putropacharitam. He chanted the holy name to indicate his son. Third. Ajamilopi Agadama. Kimuta Shraddhaya Granan. Ajamil was elevated to the spiritual world eventually. What to speak of? Chanting the holy name with Shraddha. Shraddhaya Granan. If holy name can work, if the chanter is ignorant of the effects of holy name, how much holy name will be effective if you chant with faith? Ajamil chanted, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, to give the correct understanding of Ajamil episode, someone has Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary? Yesterday already mentioned. You can read the one purport, full purport of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, of 49th verse. Give him mic. Bhagavatam also. No, it's very long, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Saradarshini, you can read. It's 7-8 lines.
Concluding the story, Shukdeva gives the conclusion about the glories of the name in one sentence in order to give full understanding. He chanted without faith since he was dying. What will happen if one chants with faith?
He chanted without faith. What will happen if you chant with faith?
He chanted while dying. What will happen if one chants while living? He chanted to indicate his son. What will happen if one chants to indicate the Lord? Ajamil was sinful. What will happen if a sinless person chants? These four conditions are mentioned.
Thus these four I mentioned yesterday also, today also. Basically, this is not an encouragement for faithless chanting, chanting with sinful background, chanting to indicate someone else. But they are encouragement for real chanting. Yes, Prabhu.
My question is that if some people in the I want to understand the new people, many people take up chanting, but everybody doesn't seem to be growing in their spiritual life. Does it become depend on their sukruti? That's why it's not growing. Wet grass or dry grass, that is the principle it's working. Or the faith that what they have in the instruction of the superior whom they are receiving from the holy name from. So I want to understand that.
It could be anything. It could be insufficient faith. It could be their own mental distractions. It could be their own desires. Yes, it could be their own karmic effects. It could be anything. It's all subjective.
But it is said that even with faithlessness, somebody chants, will have effect.
It will have effect even if one chants without faith. But what is the effect that you are expecting from in that person?
Because the effect is that
he will develop
faith eventually. Like
the what is the proof whether he has faith or not according to you?
Then he will continue. Yes.
See, like what exactly is happening between a practitioner and Krishna, many times another person may or may not be able to completely figure out. Right? So, yeah, someone may come, he will chant for a while and apparently he will just not follow the process and then he may go away. But here, we need to remember 1st canto 5th chapter another verse. Tyaktva svadharmam charanambujam harir bhajan apakvotha patetato yadi yatrakva vabhadram abhudamushyukim kovartha apto abhajatam svadharmatah. If one takes to the process of devotional service and deviates from that path and immaturely, still he is not a failure. That is exactly reconciling this fact. Even if you chant without faith, the process will work. What does it mean? It means that if it doesn't work right now, it will work little later. That later could be after a decade or after 2 decades or in the next lifetime. Considering the point of eternity, it's like hardly anything. So, tyaktva svadharmam charanambujam harer. You give up your swadharma to take the holy names of, take the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Tyaktva svadharmam charanambujam harer. Bhajan apakvotha. Even if your bhajana, the practice is apakva, is immature, still you don't lose anything. But on the other hand, if you just stick to your swadharma so much, but if you abhajatam, if you are not a devotee of Krishna, then it will not take one anywhere. Definitely, externally he will get some benefits, definitely. But that makes sense. He is not a failure. So, because of lack of faith, he may deviate. But whatever little bit he has done now, that will go into his eternal bank account, that will connect him to the process, if not today, tomorrow. Nehabhikramanasosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayato mahato bhayat. Ajamil's case only, you see. Initially he did something. He did some religious practices and little devotional service he has done. Now he's got deviated because of prostitute. But did that help him now or not? At the time of death? Towards the last stages of his life? That's what acharyas are saying. So, one's apparent deviation currently after practicing little bit is not permanent deviation. It may seem like permanent deviation within this lifetime, but Krishna is there for them, for whatever service they have done. But whatever little sincerity that they have shown in the path, Krishna will definitely reciprocate with them. Maybe in next lifetime. Maybe in a different situation. Maybe tomorrow, maybe day after tomorrow, maybe whatever. Prabhu, I think we are going to sort a lot of discussion. We have a lot of syllabus to complete. Yes, Prabhu. You give Prabhuji mic.
See, there are two parts that I'm getting here is, one is offenses against the name, and the second thing is hypocritical chanting. So one is, so when he says that stobam helanam, that is not hypocritical because they really don't know, they are just making fun, through and through they are making fun. So it's not hypocritical chanting, so they are getting the effect, number one. Number two is, while chanting, on the strength of chanting, okay, I can do anything, and then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, this fellow is an idiot, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That is offensive chanting. So that offensive chanting will definitely take down that person. Isn't that true? Because it's clearly given here that because he did not create offense against the name, that offense against the name is so powerful that it can take down a person. Isn't that something that he
If offensive chanting is there, it will take a lot of time for him to progress. No doubt about it. Madhyalila, Adilila 8th chapter says that. Bhujanma Kareyadi Shravana Kirtan, in that whole series, that whole section is dedicated to how to chant holy names.
So yes, doesn't that boil down to hypocrisy and finally...
Hypocrisy may be there. The details are different. It may be hypocrisy, it may be duplicity, it may be envy, it may be anger, it may be critical mentality, whatever it may be. If the chanting is with offenses, Krishna Prem will not manifest so soon. It will take a lot of time.
But will it? Is it only that, or is it negative also?
It could be negative also, depending on the gravity of the offense. Yeah, it's negative also.
So simply by chanting, we can never be sure that we can progress, right? Simply by chanting, to your point, simply by chanting, we'll never progress. Simply by chanting, creating offenses, that will be more negative
offense.
Than...
It's not that we will never progress.
The results
of spiritual credits become inaccessible to us for the time being. There are two kinds of impediments in devotional service. Fifth canto, first chapter, sixth purport, Prabhupada writes. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes. One is Lord's will. Bharat Maharaj became a deer. So that's like directly Lord's intervention. That's a very big case. So that's one. Second is Vaishnava Aparadh. If one commits an offense to a Vaishnava, then...
Or the name.
That offense to Vaishnava is offense to name also. First offense to name. So if one commits an offense, Aparadh, to a Vaishnava, till that Vaishnava wholeheartedly forgives him, and till this person who offends that Vaishnava feels guilty and begs honestly forgiveness from him, His devotional progress is halted. Example that Acharyas give is Rahugana. Rahugana offended Jadabharat unknowingly, but it's an offense. But immediately he went and begged forgiveness. Naham Vishanke Swararaja Vajdran Natraksha Sulan Nayamasya Dandat. He said, Shankhe Brishan Brahma Kulava Manat. I am very fearful of offending Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. So please forgive me. Please reveal your identity. Who are you? Why are you behaving like a dull man? I thought that you are a dull man, that's why I engaged you in carrying my palanquin. So when he begged that forgiveness, Jadabharat forgave, he gave him teachings also, and he came out of that effects of Vaishnava Aparadh, and he continued.
So that extends one last question I'll ask, is that in now this current age, we don't know how many offenses we are creating to how many people, so who all are we going to say sorry, sorry, sorry? So what is the... thing is, there like, you know, a guru who stands for everyone and you just
take my apologies.
Massive apologies.
I'll read a list of apologies,
because we don't even know how many people we offended.
What is that called? Confession.
No, we don't even know how many people we have offended. In that case, Raghunath's
case, offense is, it's not that stepping on the shadow of a Vaishnava is also an offense. Does it mean that we will not circumambulate around Tulsi every day in the morning? Right. So, offense means like you are just politically trying to pull down a devotee. It's like something, like you are just going like that. You just hurt a devotee by your hand or something like that, unknowingly. Sorry, Prabhu. You said it. It's fine. It's not taken so seriously. But if you intentionally just go behind him and then take a rod and then hit him, that's an offense. So now there are some innocent mistakes that can be nullified very easily by saying one sorry or begging little forgiveness and all. That's there. So now Like, we need to also understand what is offense. Okay, some are like simple things. Prabhu, do you really want me to take question? I am hardly in the middle of second chapter. We discuss. Okay, ask.
Some devotee practiced for 1-2 years and he left. And then later part of his life, he went into sinful activities.
Mm.
So now, according to this Purport of Bhakti Vishnu Chaitanya Thakur, he cannot go to hell, even though he doesn't take the devotional service again.
Mm.
So is that correct? Like, some devotee practiced 2 years and he left. Then he went into sinful
activities. Vishnu Chaitanya wrote, right? If someone
says that when he has chanted, he has atoned for past, present and future lives, for future sinful relations. Now, some devotee chanted for 2 years and then he left Krishna consciousness. And then again he went into sinful activities. So, will that sinful activities be counted for that devotee or not? Now, he is not a devotee in the later part of his life.
That will come in the next chapter. See, Prabhu, how much is the relevance of this in our sadhaka life?
Because generally, when in classes we speak, see, now you go into spiritual life, you are spiritual life, but you go away, you may come into.
See, we just now discussed Tyaktva Swadharmam Charanam Bhujam Harir, Bhujan Apakvata. He will not fall down like a materialistic person if he deviates from devotional service. And how exactly, what exactly happens to him, it's, we cannot exactly say. We are not like Yamaraj, we are not like Brahmaji, we are not like Krishna to exactly give the details of what exactly happens to that fellow. But like the devotional service he has rendered will definitely protect him at one point or the other. That much we can say. Anything beyond this could be speculation also without having more details. We cannot give the finer details of what could happen to that person. Here he chanted. Does it make sense? Krishna is there for them to protect at a later point. What is that protection? Not gliding into lower species. At some point he will again come back. Maybe he has that some certain strong desire to fulfill some material desire. He just went there and he is doing something and then one day he will come back realizing all this could happen. Makes sense. This is satisfactory. At least that's all I know. I can't give details exactly. What will exactly happen to him? I don't know. correct. Yeah, one verse is there. First cant only. In that series, 1.5 only. Narada Muni tells Vyasadeva. In that series only. Tyaktva Swadharma series only.
I think
same verse only. Next verse. It's there in that series. Okay, we'll start. We have 6-7 minutes. I'll take 1 or 2 verses now. Okay, ask more questions in 6-7 minutes. I can't start a new section now. Or we'll take extra time in the evening. We'll conclude the session now. Because Ajamil's regret and release that is mentioned. Yes, Prabhu. Who has a question? No question, then we'll end. In 5 minutes, we can start a new section. Yes, Prabhu. Madhava Seva Prabhu.
See, this is 29th verse. Yamaraj is telling, Jivana Vakti
Bhagavad Gunanavadheyam Chetaschana Smarati Tacharanaravindam.
Even if they have not chanted only once also, then bring. It's very clear. Even if by mistakenly they chant, oh, Hare airport, at least they will not go to Yamaraj. Where they will go,
clear.
To Krishna.
That is, what exactly is, I think that is not this question.
His question was, what will happen to them, whether they will go to hell or no. That was his question.
They will go to hell. And they will not
how
go
they
hell.
Will go to hell?
They will not go to hell. That is clear. Oh, that was your question. Yeah. They will not go to hell. Okay. Thank you all very much. Ritharaj Srimad Bhagavatam.